Matt Robeson, Beyond Politics. Today, the inside story of what it was like being on the front lines, fighting and ultimately winning the battle to keep Donald Trump from overturning the 2020 election. Here's what happened. There's a guy I've known for more than 30 years, went to the same college, we have some mutual friends. His name is Joe Kahn. And recently we got to talking because he's running for attorney general in Pennsylvania. And he dropped something really casually into the conversation, like it was no big deal, that he had been mixed up in the legal fight to stop Donald Trump from overturning the 2020 election. Of course, I said, what do you mean? Turns out Joe was not just mixed up in it. He was helping to lead it. He was the lawyer for a swing county in Pennsylvania, maybe the swing county of Pennsylvania. And he began to notice something really strange in 2020. And he was on the ball enough to start to organize the other counties. He was asking, are you seeing this? How about we all work together? And it's a good thing he did, because by Election Day, Joe was going toe-to-toe with the right-wing forces of darkness. So I wanted to bring you this story of what happened. And it's the kind of thing that I'm fascinated with, because so much politics, so much of life is about paying attention to the details and winning on all of them. I think you'll see that's what Joe did. By the way, he's done some other really interesting stuff, like he sued the social media companies for harming teenagers. He's prosecuted politicians, including in his own party, for being corrupt. But let's start at the beginning when I asked Joe when he started to notice that something unsettling was happening as Republicans were trying to mess with the election in Pennsylvania. So take us back to the run-up to the 2020 election in the months before. Just set the scene. What was going on? And when did you start to get a sense that something was coming your way and was about to crash right on you in the way of this Trump onslaught?
But we got this sense something was happening long before November in 2020. It actually happened right when I came in as the county solicitor. The reason for me coming to Bucks County as the new solicitor was the fact that Democrats had flipped control of the county government in Bucks County. There was kind of a wave in places like Bucks County and Chester County and Delaware County. And so that was really exciting to be part of this new leadership in Bucks County. This was the first time that Democrats had control of the county government in about 40 years. But all of a sudden, within a couple of days of being on the job, I got this letter from these people threatening to sue my county, claiming that there was all kind of voter registration fraud and that we needed to purge people from the rolls. And it didn't really make sense because we didn't have any understanding of any kind of fraud or over-registration of people. And as we sort of started to do our homework, when we got this weird letter, we saw we weren't the only county being affected. And sure enough, these other counties that had switched from Republican control to Democratic control were getting these threatening letters from this group called Judicial Watch saying, you better kick people off your voter rolls or else we're going to sue you.
Just the ones that had swung.
Coincidentally.
Yeah, amazing. And when was this? What was the time frame?
This was just after the November 2019 election, right? So I had just come in January 2020. So already this kind of strange behavior from this group I'd never heard of called Judicial Watch, run by a guy named Tom Fitton, was saying that we were going to get hauled into court if we didn't do what they wanted us to do.
Not to take us out of sequence here, but Tom Fitton, this is the same guy who was unindicted co-conspirator number one subsequently in the Georgia prosecution of the Trump conspiracy to overturn the election. This is a big deal.
Well, they didn't mention that in the letter. They claimed that they were some kind of watchdog and that they were all about election integrity. So obviously this wasn't adding up, right? And they said, oh, look, we'll make it easy. If you just purge X number of people from your roles, we'll go away. We won't sue you. And so that was the first time that I realized, well, wait a second, they're trying to bully us, right? I, at the time, was the first full-time county solicitor Bucks County had. We didn't have a full-time law department yet, right? And so we were going to have to hire outside lawyers. It was going to be really expensive. And there was a lot of pressure with this possibility of a big lawsuit. And so that was the beginning of me saying to my colleagues in other counties, listen, we better work together on this, right? Let's all punch back with one fist, right? Because as a lawyer, there are times when you need to negotiate and you need to compromise. People's right to vote, that's not one of those areas where you can compromise. We're going to need to hold the line here. And so that was the very
beginning. You assembled a team.
Yeah. And that was the first time we did it. And it really proved to be the foundation of what we had to do all throughout 2020. And that is really, Matt, what led up to November of 2020. We had a series of these kinds of issues where even in the primary election, there was a push to try and disenfranchise people. You might remember all of a sudden mailboxes that people in Pennsylvania were relying on to get their ballots in, they started disappearing. And there were people that were doing what they were supposed to do, right? Which was to fill out their mail-in ballot and put it in the mail. They were at risk of not having their votes counted, right? And we went to court to get a judge to say, hey, even if this ballot comes in a little later than it should have, people's votes shouldn't be thrown out if the mail isn't working the way it's supposed to. And we were getting pushback from the same people who didn't want people to have their vote counted in places like Bucks County. So this was going all throughout 2020, Matt. And so by the time we got to November and we're hearing all these statements from Donald Trump about the election's going to be rigged and you can't trust the votes that come in by mail, right? In places like Bucks County and Pennsylvania, where you have mail-in voting, we knew that we had to be ready for what was to come, which was an onslaught of completely bogus challenges that were brought for the purposes of disenfranchising Pennsylvania voters.
You could forgive most listeners, even very intelligent, dialed in listeners and viewers like we have in our audience, and our audience pays a lot of attention to this, if they've gotten a little hazy over the years, because there were more than 70 cases that were slapped down by courts where Trump and his minions, his flying monkeys team, tried to muck with the election. So walk us through then what happened. The election happens, and then what happened?
Yeah, I mean, really what it was, each one of these cases that you mentioned, Matt, each one of those cases was really a collection of bogus claims that somehow there was voter fraud, that for some reason the vote should get thrown out, right?
This is the Giuliani thing, right? And he's like, there's weird, the reverse vampires are involved and stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean, he went to my old neighborhood in Northeast Philly. He stood outside the parking lot of the Four Seasons Landscaping Company, right? And he declared all kinds of nonsense that gives you an idea of the kind of stuff that was getting submitted to judges, right? And of course, we won all these cases because there was no there. But they just tried to wear us down. It was just a volume game, Matt. They filed relentless challenge after challenge because who knows? Maybe you get lucky. Maybe you draw a judge who's going to let this play out and really kind of delay and slow things down. And everyone remembers that phone call that Donald Trump made to the Secretary of State in Georgia, right? Can you just find me some votes, do this, and I'll take care of the rest. And they were looking for any angle they could. And we were really lucky because, again, you had the likes of Rudy Giuliani calling the shot. So he wasn't America's top legal mastermind, right? And so it was my first time being in a position to do this and to assemble a team and deal with these challenges. But it was their first time too, right? And so they didn't have really a great plan. And also, we were really fortunate that we didn't have a single election denier running a board of elections in any of the 67 counties in Pennsylvania. So I'm really glad it worked out. I'm really glad that we fought them all the way to the United States Supreme Court and we won. But next time, Matt, it's going to be different. They're going to be much better prepared.
Play the movie for me. For all the people who are watching this and listening, what is it like being on the front line, like literally leading the charge against the forces of darkness? What does your day look like? What are you doing as you're leading this kind of a fight against Trump with American democracy on the line?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of this was bracing, right? Because we knew that there were these claims that were going to be coming. And this is why it was so important that we had this team together where we were all talking. So that the minute that one of these claims hit in Allegheny County, Philadelphia and Bucks County would know what we could expect because they were coordinated. And so we needed to be coordinated too, right? And a lot of this in the lead up to the actual election, because it was on election day that a lot of these challenges started coming in, it was war games. We were preparing for all kinds of things that could happen. What are we going to do?
You did scenario planning beforehand, like the Pentagon.
100%. Yeah. And thankfully, a lot of these nightmare scenarios that we prepared for and we had a plan to deal with if they happened, they didn't happen. I mean, thankfully, these guys were so feckless and goofy that a lot of what we saw in these attempts to really bully their way into stealing the election happened after some of these core challenges had failed, right? But we were prepared for federal agents coming in, trying to seize voting machines, right? Getting search warrants to try and violate the secrecy laws that we had in Pennsylvania. So it was a lot of making sure, like any good lawyer is, that you're prepared for the things that don't happen.
You're basically doing lawyer 101. You're preparing for everything. You're doing it as a tabletop exercise with the team you assembled. You were ready to go. I mean, it reminds me of my campaign management days where, like, you are ready and coordinated with all of your team members everywhere. And as soon as something happens, you've already pre-planned it. You've already talked about what you're going to do. And it's like your response is almost happening before the problem starts.
That is how it works, but we never felt that we were ready. We always were worried that there was something that we hadn't prepared for, and we were never comfortable. We always were basically bracing for the unthinkable and the unimaginable, because Trump was unprecedented in the way that he abused his power, right? And the things that came next were unthinkable, right? The fact that he would incite insurrection, he would call on people to go to the Capitol. I mean, who could imagine that a sitting president would do that, right? But those were the things that we were trying to anticipate so that we could be prepared. And in hindsight, we were prepared. And I'm glad we were.
If you had a lesson learned here, because I've been pleading with Democrats for years on this theme of, we are sort of congenitally programmed to think in big, broad, sweeping strokes. What is Bernie Sanders calls it? Big, bold legislation. The answer to everything is big, bold legislation. I'm going to open a coffee shop called that. But the reality is that people say the devil's in the details. No, the angel's in the details, right? It's on the front lines, winning the fight for democracy. If I had any point to make, it happens with people like you down in the trenches doing the work. We don't get these rulings from the U.S. District Court judge who, in the most harsh terms possible, dismissed with extreme prejudice what Donald Trump was trying to do here. You don't get that result unless you have been nitpickingly, painstakingly going through the details. So, and this is partly thinking ahead to 2024, is there a lesson learned for people, and this may be you again, the people who are going to be on the front lines of this fight next time around? Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Yeah. I mean, I think the lesson is you have to do both, right? You have to be in the weeds and you have to be dealing with the big picture. You need to have vision to have an understanding of what is the work you need to do, and then the experience and know-how to actually get the work done. And so I think it was a really good lesson in the importance of teamwork. There isn't anything that I've ever done 24 years in public service that was something I was able to do by myself, right? Every good thing I've ever been a part of has been as a result of teamwork. And so that was a big part of, I think, the lesson for others to take from that. It was also really important, I should say, that we were really successful in Bucks County in particular, because we had a really good working relationship, believe it or not, with both the Democratic and the Republican parties. And we were very transparent. We had a lot, we gave everyone a lot of access to see everything that was happening. And so after the election, you had the chairs of both parties writing a joint op-ed saying there was no voter fraud in Bucks County. Joe Biden won the election. Let's move on. Right. And that really, I think, makes it easier for the public to have confidence that we're doing things the right way. But as we think about the future, as I said, they're going to be much better prepared the next time. Right. I think Rudy's off the case. I'm not sure his law license is still good. And I think they're going to learn from the mistakes that they made. Right. And look for other angles to try and do this. And that's one of the reasons that the office I'm running for is so important. Because this is a way to remove the firewall that we had in 2020, right? We were working as county solicitors, but we had an ally in the Pennsylvania Attorney General who also believed in democracy, believed that the vote should count, and was going to call shots fairly. And if you remove that, then you have a recipe for overthrowing the will of the people in Pennsylvania.
I want to ask one more question about this. I just want to pat myself on the back for restraining myself from making lots of jokes about Bucks County and references to the 2002 M. Night Shyamalan classic Signs. You were the epicenter of the alien invasion. It was a very incompetent alien invasion, but nonetheless, it represented a real threat to the continuation of human life. It's just such a rich metaphor for everything that you did. And I was going to say you're Mel Gibson, except that's bad. I can't make that comparison. So just for fans of M. Night Shyamalan, alien sci-fi, and all of that, yes, it's that Bucks County. And yes, Joe Kahn is more of Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah. I mean, look, I think what he was told to do was a swing away, right? And that's what we did in Bucks County. And we can talk through some of the work that we did. But, you know, we took that baseball bat, right? And we went after polluters and we went after social media companies. And we really took the opportunity of a great office, like a county solicitor's office, to really show what you could do. If you have those things, if you have both vision and experience, know-how to kind of step up to the plate.
Let me ask you one about that experience before we get into what you're up to now. You did go after the social media companies. I am obsessed with this topic myself. I'm a father. I'm a father of a tween and a couple of soon-to-be tweens, right? And we're having this conversation about phones and social media and what the entire online world is doing to our kids. And we're fresh off of a massive article by Jonathan Haidt in The Atlantic, a really breathtaking, and it's stuff we know, but a really breathtaking indictment of what smartphone childhood, smartphone adolescence is doing to the next wave of Americans. These are our next leaders. They're here to replace us, as Jerry Seinfeld said. And their brains are being fundamentally tinkered with by companies who do not have their best interests at heart. And you went after them. That's quite amazing. What did you do there?
Yeah, well, what I did was, I think, what every parent wanted to do, right? Which was, when we found out that these companies were messing with our kids, is I stepped up, right? And the same, we did this other thing by putting a team together. In this case, it was by getting Republicans, Democrats together. My friend, the district attorney, who's a Republican, I'm a Democrat. We teamed up in a bipartisan way to bring a lawsuit. It was the first county lawsuit against these companies. And just to take a step back, what we found out was that when our kids were on screens, right, and this happened for me during the pandemic, I moved to Bucks County because of the fact that this is such a walkable community where I live here in Doylestown. My kids could go outside on their own and just do stuff. And I very reluctantly put them on screens right when everything shut down during the pandemic. And it was really frustrating to have to do that. And they were getting assignments from their teachers online saying, go watch this video about biology on YouTube. And little did I know that while my kids were there, YouTube was saying, oh, we have an algorithm that's going to keep these kids hooked so that we can sell more ads, right? So when I found out that's what they were doing, I was able to find a way that our county could take them to court. And so we kind of figured the nuts and bolts of that, right? And we could go into all the legal issues. How does a county government have standing to bring a lawsuit? And why does a district attorney have the ability to do that, right? But we figured that out so that we could take this fight to their doorstep. And we filed a lawsuit in the Northern District of California, taking the fight right to them. And when it happened, the headline was David versus Goliath. You've got the fourth largest county in Bucks County in Pennsylvania starting this lawsuit. But then 6 months later, the Pennsylvania Attorney General and 40 other attorneys general joined that fight, right? And it was just a good example of how you can use the courts to really hold bad actors accountable. And why? Number one, to tell them knock it off, right? It wasn't just YouTube. It was TikTok. It was Facebook. It was Snapchat and Instagram. But number two, the reason we were able to do this, Matt, in part, was that in our county, we spent a lot of resources addressing this youth mental health crisis. Right. And that's one of the reasons we were able to go to court. And so part of why that lawsuit was brought was to get these companies to really pay their fair share for some of the damage that they've caused for children, not just in Bucks, but in other parts of Pennsylvania and really across the country.
It's the real embodiment of think globally, act locally, and other bumper sticker bullshit that we really could dispense with in our lives. But that brings me back before we get on to kind of what you're doing now and some other issues. I do want to hit one more on the 2020 fight against the forces of darkness. A lot of the time I was referring to the angel being in the details, right? Being down in the trenches in the fight. a lot of the time, these kinds of fights also come down to one moment. Is there a moment that stands out to you where you think, wow, history turns on stuff like this? Is there a moment where you thought, this is what we need to win, or this is what we did just win that's going to turn all of this around?
You know, I think that, Matt, that's a good example, or where sometimes the stuff isn't big and bold. It's these mundane little details, right? It was really an effort to kind of kill us with 1,000 paper cuts. And so a lot of these fights, they ended up being these sort of very micro disputes. And you think back to the 2000 election when people were looking at hanging chads in Florida, right? It was that kind of stuff where ballot by ballot, you're examining these claims that people filled out the wrong part of a form. Or so a lot of this was sort of mundane, the details. But when we step back, I would point to that moment when you had Republicans and Democrats coming together and saying, this was fair is fair, the election's over, it's time to move on. I'd look at that moment as a point in time in a place like Bucks County, which is the purplest of purple counties, right, in America. And they say in Pennsylvania, as Bucks County goes, so goes Pennsylvania, right? And for a place like this, that can be often very divided, very polarized, to have everyone coming together and saying the election is over, I think it took a lot of work to lead up to that moment. But I think that was the moment that helped a lot of people locally see the sign, okay, whatever Trump is saying probably isn't right, because these are the people in my community I trust, and they're saying this was done the right way.
So you're coming off this experience being the fulcrum of Pennsylvania, as goes Bucks County, so goes Pennsylvania, as goes your fight to lead these groups of counties against Evil Incorporated, as goes that fight, so goes the entire election, right? You are at the epicenter, ground zero of all of this. And so you're signing up for the exact same thing all over again in 2024, because as goes Pennsylvania, so probably goes the country. Once again, Pennsylvania at the fulcrum of everything that's happening. And you are currently running for Attorney General of Pennsylvania. Now, obviously, that's a position that matters a lot in Pennsylvania. Why does it matter to people around the country, for Democrats who care about this stuff? Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Well, there's a lot of reasons, but I'll start with what we were just talking about, Matt, which is that when we won these court cases against the Giulianis and the Trumps and all these MAGA folks who were trying to overturn the election results in Pennsylvania, we didn't get those court rulings from the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court, in November of 2020. We were fighting the 2020 election all the way into 2022, right? And at any moment, if we had lost these claims, there could have, all hell could have broken loose, right? And so that, unfortunately, is the game plan. I feel very confident that despite some of the challenges facing Democrats in Pennsylvania, I think that Joe Biden is going to win Pennsylvania. I think he's going to be reelected. And I think that the plan that the Republicans have, or part of their plan, is to try and win the Attorney General's office in Pennsylvania, to remove that firewall so when these bogus election challenges come, they maybe draw a friendly judge. They've done this before, right? And they can maybe then overturn the will of the people in Pennsylvania. So if you care about the 2024 presidential elections and you think Pennsylvania is an important state in that result, then you ought to care about who's in charge of the AG's office. And I can't emphasize this enough. Only two Democrats have ever won this office. It's a really hard office for Democrats to win in Pennsylvania. So that is one of the reasons, but there's a lot more. And I look at the opportunity to step up for this office. I feel uniquely qualified for it. And above all else, I am running for the sake of my kids. Someday they're going to ask me what I did to leave them with a better world. And I know that Pennsylvania has an environmental rights amendment that is unlike any in the country. Right. And so if you have an attorney general who has the vision and the experience to use what I think is a superpower for the attorney general to be not just a national, but a global leader on climate justice and environmental justice, there's no limit to the great things we can do. So those are just a couple areas where who is in charge of the Pennsylvania Attorney General's office has implications, not just for the country, but in my view, for our planet.
Well, and certainly, I mean, thinking about the climate and the environment, that certainly is a global implication. But I also like the first piece of that, which is this does seem to be, once again, where the front line and the fight for democracy is going to fall. WHY, the PBS station in Pennsylvania, just headlined, "Pennsylvania was deluged by election lawsuits in 2020. Experts say 2024 will be even more intense." The word intense is doing a lot of work in that sentence, something for you really to look forward to. One of the hallmarks of your career as an attorney before you occupied the fight against the alien invasion and your current political campaign was you led corruption investigations into city halls. Is government corruption something that you really focus on in your legal career and that you're hoping to focus on as a—
Yeah, I don't think we can overstate the importance of taking on corruption. I mean, we can look at some of the work that I did, for example, when I was a federal prosecutor in the U.S. Attorney's Office. And there were these two mayors in major Pennsylvania cities, the mayor of Allentown and the mayor of Reading. And they were looking out for themselves instead of those who need government the most, right? And when that happens, when the resources that communities need for all these things that Democrats talk about, that we care about, when they're not available, right, for the people who need them, that's a threat to everyone's safety. And so, unfortunately, going after corruption meant holding people in my own political party accountable. And that's what we need to do, right? We need to call that out wherever we see it. And there's so many places where that's true, Matt. I was a prosecutor for 16 years. I worked with amazing police officers, right? We were shoulder to shoulder and standing up for victims of crime and getting them justice. But I also prosecuted some bad ones, right? And these things go hand in hand. Good cops are at risk when there's bad cops amongst them, right? And so whether it's police officers, whether it's politicians, right? Whether it's people that aren't honoring their obligation to protect the environmental rights of Pennsylvanians, right? We have to, I think, holistically about that idea of corruption, because in any form, it makes government less effective. It puts it all at risk. And right now, we're in a moment in history, Matt, where people are undermining confidence in our institutions, in our democracy. And it's all the more reason for those of us in these positions to present the public with an image of confidence that we are clean, that we are rooting out corruption. And that's what people expect, and they should. So that's why it has been a hallmark of what I've done for 24 years and why I will continue to make that a focus as Attorney General.
I hear a through line, sort of a connective tissue in your philosophy that really resonates with me. I sometimes struggle, because we're a very interesting melange, our party, I sometimes struggle to explain my core philosophy that makes me a member of the Democratic Party. But I think it boils down to, I do believe that we have obligations to one another as a society, and that we function best when we believe that the government, which is instituted on our behalf by us, for us, is working for us on our behalf. And it takes, the words I've heard you use include teamwork, bipartisanship, finding connections, making sure that government works. That seems to be the through line to me when you talk about, look, I'm able to prosecute bad cops and also stand up for the good work of policing. It's being able to bridge that kind of divide. You come from a very interesting personal background. Your father came from Pakistan, and you're able to bridge some of the divides that occur within our party right now. I'm putting words into your mouth very intentionally, and I might be wrong about this, but it feels to me like if there is that kind of, I don't know, philosophical connective tissue to what you're doing, it is a belief in the government should work for us, our own party needs to find connection points and be unified, and you're able to reach out even to Republicans who should be fighting you tooth and nail to say, hey, look, let's work together to end this election insanity. Let's work together to go after the social media companies who are harming our kids. That's my version of the case, and I'm cross-examining you, and I don't know the answer to my own question. I'm a bad lawyer.
It's a good question, and they're good words. I mean, one of the words you used a couple times was the word bridge, and my dad literally was a bridge builder. And that's why he came to this country, and he worked for the city of Philadelphia. He got up at the crack of dawn every morning to commute from Northeast Philly to get there. And I think the lessons that he was teaching my brother and me when we were kids, when it would snow, We lived in this very steep block in Northeast Philly on Albuquerque Avenue. And he'd wake us up when it snowed and tell us to go and shovel the sidewalk and the driveways of all of our neighbors. And we weren't allowed to take any money for it. And we had to do this for the neighbors who were my parents' friends. We had to do it for the neighbors that weren't very nice to us. We had to do it for everyone. And at the time I was 8 or 9 and just kind of thought my old man was giving me a hard time and didn't really understand why I had to go and do this work. And now that I have kids that age, I think I have a better understanding of what my dad was trying to teach us, which is that you're really lucky to get to be born in this country, right? To have all these advantages and these privileges of being an American. And our neighbors, their kids were grown. They were empty nesters, right? And they needed someone to go and help them. And you're lucky enough to be here, to be able-bodied, and you got a shovel in the shed, then go out and you go help where help was needed. And we weren't a political family at all, but we were raised very much with that ethos. We need to be good neighbors and we need to be there for each other. And it doesn't matter who you're helping. If people need help, you got to help them. And that's always been my philosophy in government and certainly in the political arena. It doesn't matter if people vote for you or not. You got to show up and you got to serve.
Joe Kahn, best of luck in your future endeavors. And thanks so much for everything you've done so far to repel the alien hordes.
Oh, thanks. It's great being with you. Thank you.